Dear friends, and warm welcome to you all on this new Sabbath day, especially those who are visiting from elsewhere. May the Lord bless us together as we seek to worship Him. And Psalm 93 says, "Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house forever." And may that also be in our heart this morning, holiness in our worship. So let us begin our service with prayer and receive the Lord's blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. In thee who keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of thy own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us sing together with Psalter 275, and there are all four verses. Thou, O Lord, art God alone, everlasting is thy throne. And what follows in 275, stanzas 1 through 4. Let us now give our attention to the hearing of the Word of God from Exodus chapter 20. Every Sunday morning we remind ourselves of this charter of the kingdom, the Ten Commandments. We'll follow that with the reading of Lord's Day, question 104, and then we'll sing together Psalter 70, verse 1 and 5. So we see, read now Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And then this morning, what does God require in the fifth commandment? That I shall all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and in all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. And Ruth, as we will read from this morning, is a beautiful example of that. Let us now sing Psalter 70, verse 1 and 5. Praising thee. Let's now turn to the book of Ruth, and we'll read it off chapter 2, from beginning to the end. So the word of God from the history of Ruth. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servants that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field, that they do reap, and go after them, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men, that they should not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, and she bowed herself to the ground, and she said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It has fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field unto even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and she said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not left of his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabite said, He said also unto me, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men, until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, and that they meet thee not in another field, in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So far the scriptures reading. Let's now gather our thoughts together in prayer and seek the Lord in mercy to be with us this morning. Great and faithful God, it is again thy faithfulness and thy mercies that are surrounding us, that have kept our houses standing in this week passed by, that has kept us alive along the unsafe roads and in the work conditions, that given us again an opportunity this morning to gather on this first day of a new week, to be at thy feet, to hear what thou hast to say to us. O God, kindle in our hearts this morning thoughts of worship and praise. Thou art so worthy, and we are the contrary, unworthy. For who of us, Lord, has not transgressed thy good, holy, and just commandments? We have made ourselves unworthy of the least of thy mercies, and yet thou showers upon us the greatest of all mercies, that we may receive in this life, Lord, again a place this morning in the very context of the message of the Word of God, a place to come and to hear, and to sing, and to pray. Bind our hearts together, O sacred Lord, that we may indeed rejoice before Thee, but likewise be humbled along with Ruth. She stated it several times in this chapter. Who am I? I'm a stranger. Thou art so kind to me. And O God, are we not to be like her? Who are we that thou art so kind to us, so patient, so generous? And therefore, O Lord our God, we come unto thee this morning, for who to else can we come? Though guilty and unworthy, sinful, thou welcomest sinners and eateth with them. And not only dost thou welcome sinners, thou hast made every provision for us sinners to be saved. How sufficient is thy atoning blood? For John said, Lord, it cleanses us from all sin. And how atoning, how sufficient is it, as a fountain opened against all uncleanness. O God, give us grace today to find our place in that blood of Christ, and to be washed and to be cleansed from all that testifies against us. How sufficient is thy power, Lord. Thou can make out of stones children of men. And so thou can make a heart that is hard and cold and indifferent alive. moved to seek Thee and to esteem Thee. How sufficient, Lord, is Thy righteousness. We have none that is acceptable in Thy sight. It is the prophet says of old, our righteousnesses are filthy rags, good for nothing. But Lord, Thou hast made a righteousness available, so sufficient. And when we may be covered with that robe, Thou seest nothing of our sinfulness anymore. O God, may we see that and receive also that robe of righteousness Thou offers to us in the preaching, in the Word of God. How sufficient, O Lord, is Thy store of grace and mercy. Never can we sinners outdo the supply that is in Thee. And that is so encouraging, O God, that even though we may feel that we are the chiefest of sinners, there is with Thee forgiveness, that Thou mayest be feared. Draw us this morning, O Almighty, lay hold upon us this day. Allow us not to leave this place harder or colder or more guilty. But wilt Thou graciously turn us, Lord, upon that we may be saved and may look upon Thee with a fresh joy for what Thou hast given and made available in Thy great Son, Jesus Christ. So, God, Thou knowest what also weighs upon our heart as we gather here. Each one has their own story. We all have our own burdens. Our domestic concerns, our spiritual concerns. We have our business life. We have our daily life. Thou knows all, Lord, what we take along as we come in this place. And it would be lovely if you could leave it outside the door for a moment. And therefore we ask Thee this morning, gracious Lord, teach us to lose our burdens and what weighs on our heart. The sicknesses and the sorrows, the concerns also that fills many farmers' hearts. Lord, some have sowed, but some have sowed nothing in this time of the year. Those who are stressed about school exams, those who have hidden burdens and pains. O gracious God, turn our hearts and minds away from that for a moment. And separate us here to heed what the Scriptures this morning may direct us to. Bring us all in the life and in the faith of Ruth, that we may learn to trust under the shadow of Thy wings also. And Lord, as we may examine this passage of her life this morning, also in the connection with the preparation for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And we pray that this history of Ruth may be our story also. That Thou would help us all to examine ourselves, Lord, whether this is the direction of our heart, to trust under the shadow of Thy wings. And Lord, if that is not the case, wilt Thou then teach us that? There is no more blessed portion but to trust in Thee as the shield and as the rock and as the salvation. And Lord, we pray that we may be led to that rock, that Thou would place our feet upon it. Maybe we sit stuck or feel we're sinking in a pit of clay, miry clay. And maybe, Lord, we feel so hopeless and helpless this morning as we battle with the various battles of our soul. But Thou knowest how to lift us out. One word or one thought, Lord, Thou knowest whatever condition and how to deal with it. And so we pray that Thou wilt teach us this morning then through this scripture according as we need. Lord, let this supper also that we may celebrate in the coming Lord's Day be a real oasis for all Thy children, from the smallest to the oldest, in the life of grace. That Thou wilt remove every hindrance to real communion. That Thou wilt reveal to us any unrepented sins of heart, of thought, of attitude, of action, of words, of neglect. Lord God, search us and open our heart to be searched. And may we use this week, also in our own personal meditations, with an eye and a prayer towards that great need to not only be examined, but also to be directed to that only sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. May He increase more and more, and may we experience Him to be all and in all. And Lord, that so our faith may be strengthened, and when there is no faith, that Thou graciously would work it also through the Word of God. And Thou commands us, Lord, to bear each other's burdens. Many have lost loved ones this week, or have lost property in violent weather in our other parts of our nation. Others were buried, slain in the line of duty. Others face temptations and distresses and strain of family, of work, of farming. Many are persecuted, Lord, and face separation or torturous circumstances. We lift them all up to Thee, Lord Jesus. Thou knowest what to do. Thou knowest what is necessary. Teach us to pray like Martha prayed. Lord, Lazarus is sick. That's all she laid before Thee, and let us also lay these matters before Thee, as Thou knowest well how to bring glory through all our losses, and how to bring solutions in all our problems. And so endow us all this morning also, God, who are called to preach the Word. Please help us again to open up the Scripture, to make the right applications for the encouragement, for the direction, for the comfort, or for the conviction. So we look to Thee, O gracious Lord. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So we sing with Psalter 17. Wholehearted praise, O Lord Most High, with all my heart. Thy wondrous works I will proclaim. And what follows in Psalter 17, and there are five verses, we'll do all five. In the meantime, there is this morning the opportunity to contribute your gifts. And they are for the general fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Thank you. When we are little children, you like books with pictures. Lots of pictures. They read easy. And when mom and dad read those books to you, you can just about imagine it when you see the picture and you hear the words. You know, the Bible is also a picture book. God pictures very many important things in stories. Simple, beautiful stories, sometimes sad, dangerous stories. Sometimes suspenseful stories. Think about the story of Joseph. We all like that. And the story of Esther and Haman. And this morning, the story of Ruth. Those of you who know the Bible stories, you know the story of Ruth. This morning, let us look at one part of the story of Ruth. It's a beautiful book. It teaches us about Jesus. But I'm not telling you, children, where Jesus is in the book. That's your task with your mom and dad to figure out this week. Because the name Jesus is not in the book of Ruth. And your minister claims that Jesus is in the book. The book is about Ruth. She is a picture of a very needy sinner who doesn't belong. She calls herself a stranger. She looks up against those people of God. She longs to be with them, but she is not one of them. She doesn't feel that, at least. And I thought that was really a beautiful picture in our thoughts of preparation this week for the coming Sunday morning. And God gathers his children around the table of the Lord, and maybe some of us think, yeah, but I'm but a stranger of grace. I don't belong there. Pray that the Lord may answer you this morning, whether you do belong there. The mealtime, and maybe that will be our text for next week Sunday, don't know for sure yet, but the mealtime, and when Boaz invites Ruth to come and sit down and eat of the bread, it's kind of a nice picture of the Lord's Supper, I think, and of the strength that is given to her, because it says she did eat and she was sufficed. Sufficed means she was satisfied and strengthened. And then she went back to gleaning the rest of the day. It's a long day. So that's a beautiful picture. So you see, children, the Bible stories are pictures of important truths. And this morning, let us consider the portion out of Ruth 2. And I will direct your thoughts now to verse 10. And I'll read that again to verse 13. So let's read just 10 to 13 once more. Then she fell on her face, and she bowed herself to the ground, and she said unto Boaz, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It has fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens." I don't at all compare, or don't even belong to them. So these verses will help us this morning to do the biblical examination of ourselves with regard to the preparation of the Lord's Supper. So before we look at our text, let's go for a moment to the back of our Psalter and read a portion of the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. That's on page 136, back of your Psalters. And I'll read the first introduction at this point, and then we weave it in with our sermon this morning, that part at least dealing with examination. So it begins, "Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ as they're delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. And we read, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." The word damnation, congregation, does not here refer to the eternal damnation. It really refers to a spiritual judgment. It is not spiritually profitable for us when we attend the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Now let the devil not scare you with this text. That would bring eternal damnation if you partake of the Lord's Supper, unless you do it in an unworthy manner. It will bring severe spiritual darkness, distance, judgment, which of course may still be repented of. And that's why we must celebrate the Lord's Supper. If we are to celebrate the Lord's Supper to our comfort, it's very necessary that we rightly examine ourselves. And the true examination of ourselves is dealing with three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him or her for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that rather than it should go unpunished, he has punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and the shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart whether he does believe this faithful promise of God that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness in Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. And thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposes henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he has laid aside unfeignedly, that means sincerely, all enmity, hatred, and envy, and thus firmly resolve henceforth to walk in true love and peace with God, with his neighbor. All those, then, who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy, count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their heart, they eat and drink judgment to themselves. There you have the word, judgment, and that is the spiritual judgment. We'll finish the second half of this first part a little bit later in the service. But now let's tie these three points of examination into the story of Ruth. And this morning we will consider Ruth's trust in Jehovah. She came to trust. It says, under whose wings thou art come to trust. That's the verse in Ruth 2, verse 12. Now, there's a journey. There's a little journey that Ruth traveled to come to this trusting in Jehovah. That's the first thought. Secondly, what is that now, to trust? What is the nature of this? To trust in or under the wings of Jehovah. What's that mean? And so thirdly, what is her now her object of trust? Under whose wings? Who is this? Yeah. So the journey and the act of trust, what is that? And thirdly, what is the object of her trust? Children, there was a point in Ruth's life that she served idols, gods of Moab. We don't know exactly what they were, but they're like Baal and Ashtaroth, same type of things. She went to those temples, she worshipped it, she grew up with that. Her mom and dad took her, he taught that, and that's the gods of Moab. It's clear from verse 15 in the first chapter when Nehemiah said to Ruth, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods." So clearly, Ruth and Orpah, sister-in-law, worshipped at one point in her life idols. She started her life that way. Why did she serve the idols? Well, she looked for security. She wanted to have some guarantee for the future. She wanted to have someone that would stand up for her. And how naturally would you look for a god to do that? Maybe when Malcolm came around, her husband, Malon, maybe she transferred some of that trust in him. Because now she has a husband, her prince. Her security now. He will take care of me. Now that's where Ruth began in her life journey. So it is with us, isn't it? Most of us did not grow up in the world. Most of us here grew up in church context. Maybe we sat in a pew long before we wanted to. We have always been there. Not like Ruth. And yet, something alike between Ruth and all of us. Ruth was a stranger to God. And so are we. But Jehovah wasn't nobody for Ruth. And Jehovah wasn't nobody for us too. That's how we all begin. That's how the scripture says it. We're born and separated from God. God means nothing to us. And if there is no change in our life, God will continue to mean nothing to us. Or we'll give him formal lip service and we'll come to church, we'll put our bodies there, and you know, we are religious in our ways, but let's be honest, we trust in other than Jehovah. And dear congregation, let's examine that for a moment. What am I trusting in at this moment? What's my trust for the future? What's my trust for the moment of my death? What is my trust right now, at this moment? When I come to stand before my judge. You say, I don't want to think about that. Yeah, that's already telling me something. That's already telling me that you're not quite right about being ready to meet your and my Maker. Yeah. Then we are afraid of it. Ruth, you and I are trusting in something. And if it's not Jehovah, it is pure vanity. It means absolutely nothing. If we are not trusting in Jesus Christ, as we'll see in a moment, everything else comes short for eternity. Also comes short for celebrating at the table. For that is what we call the porch of heaven. As it there is a likeness, or there ought to be a likeness, between the Lord's table, communion with God, and communion hereafter. Now, I will not be perfect. I'll never be perfect on this earth, but that's not for us to sort out. That's for God to sort out eventually. For you and for me, personally, we have to be sure and sort out between Him and us what is the state of our trust. Now, that Ruth trust in Moab and in her husband was vain, of course, all came clear in the moment of the crisis. Her husband died. And so when we read now from Boaz, when she says to her, under whose wings thou art come to trust, congregation, there's quite a journey here that's unwritten. Before Ruth comes to trust under the wings of Jehovah, we must see there's a journey. It's a simple words, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Am I wrong that included a little struggle in her life? Or a big struggle? I'll leave that, but a struggle. Why? Well, children, help me. Here's this mother, Naomi. She's been professing her faith in Jehovah, the God, the only God, the Almighty God, the Eternal God. Been speaking Him up. But look at her life. It's loss, 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 loss. It's bitter, 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 bitter. What kind of a God is that? She experienced her God of Moab failing her. Naomi experienced her God of Israel failing her. What's the difference between these two? Yeah, but Naomi testimony, yeah? But testimony doesn't quite add up with the facts, is it? Do I detect there a struggle for Ruth when she is to trust under the wings of Him who has done nothing else but paining her mother-in-law ever since they left Jerusalem, Bethlehem years ago? Can I trust Jehovah? She heard Naomi testify in the end. The Lord, I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home. The Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? Now don't misinterpret Naomi. She's not bitter. She's not bitter. But she does say, He has done very bitter things in my life. He has afflicted me deeply. Therefore, it is not fitting to have my old name. Call me Mary. So her struggle would be what? Is He really so good? This Jehovah. Is He really that powerful? He doesn't shield His followers from pain and loss. Is He really any different than Moab's gods who couldn't help me in my loss? Maybe that's one part of her struggle. Shall I trust? Maybe another part of the struggle is, may I trust? I'm just a stranger. I don't belong to that people of Israel. May I trust in Him also? We know that in Chapter 1, Ruth makes an absolute unparalleled confession. Being a heathen woman, it's just amazing what the Spirit of God taught her to say. Let me just read those words of her confession. Entreat me not, she says to Naomi, to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. There is faith in that confession. There is amazing faith in that confession. Though if you'd ask Ruth, are you saved? Me saved? under whose wings thou hast come to trust. See, Ruth does not have what we would call with a fancy word, appropriating faith. She doesn't have the faith that she can own the Lord for herself. She doesn't have that faith yet. But she has another faith. She has a refuge-taking faith. She is trusting herself under the wings of God who has stretched this out to her also. That's the faith she has. That's the journey that God has led her to. Friends, how does that compare to you and me? Our story and our circumstances will never be like Ruth as she began her journey in Moab. But that's not the point. The point is this. Is your termination point like Ruth? Wherever God has led you or taken you from or gone, you've led you through, that doesn't matter. You've come from the south or the north, the west or the east. But have you come to this? Under whose wings I have come to trust. That little snippet, is that you and me? Does that describe me? Such a trust always goes along with what you read in this life of Ruth. She fell on her face. She bowed herself to the ground. She says, why have I found grace in thy sight? What are you looking to me for? Who am I? Why? You see, congregation, that's always an aspect that comes along with this trusting. There is a rejecting of yourself. That's what that first question of examination is all about. That we consider by ourselves who we are and what we have done in order that we may learn to humble ourselves or abhor ourselves and humble ourselves before God. Do you also sit there before the Lord this morning and says, Lord, why would thou have favor to me? See, if God truly is leading us in the way of Ruth, we're going to sink right next to her. And we're going to say the same sentiment. Why would thou have anything to do with me, O Lord? I abhor my sin within me and my sinfulness. And I abhor it especially if I see what it has done to thee, the dishonor and the disgrace and the anger that I have caused in thee, that thou needed to satisfy this with the death of thy own son as the only way. It even makes me more abhorrent. As I see the cross and I see the suffering and the bitter pain of Jesus, it makes me even hate sin more. Can you come into that? Do we follow her? You know, Boaz, he's quite praiseworthy about Ruth. He says to her, it's been fully shown to me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law. You're quite a woman. You're an amazing woman. What you have all done since the death of your husband, how you left your father and your mother, your land of birth, and you come to a people you don't even know. You are quite a woman. And she says, I am nothing. Is that what you'd say to people that praise you too? Don't talk like that. I don't need your praises. There's nothing to praise in me. See, Ruth disowns her own righteousness. She disowns everything in her. Is that what we do too, congregation? Ruth has made a decisive turning point in her life. She had left Moab. Now do not forget, there's some really sweet and darling things in Moab. Every string of her heart went back to that mother and father and siblings. Don't forget, that's normal, that's okay, that's totally normal. But she cut the tie. Why? Oh, she desired to be with the people of God. They were more important. than what naturally was her own. Yeah, look at your life. Are we willing to turn decisively away from our darling idols and our sweet sins, but also from our own sweet righteousness and our good deeds like Ruth did? She would have none of these praises of Boaz. She said, oh, filthy rags, they have no value in the sight of God. Don't talk about this. I am nothing. Why would thou look upon me? And dear congregation, that's a point of examination. Between you and God, don't you dare to examine someone else this week. That's God's business, not yours. It's between you and Him. And let this question be the question we examine. Have I come to trust under the wings of Jehovah? Let's sing about that. Psalter 187. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. In tender mercy, turn thou unto me. And what follows in the four verses of Psalter 187. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. What is that, to trust? What is that? What is the nature of that trust? Trusting congregation is in this case simply to take your shelter. The Hebrew is to take refuge. That's where that phrase comes from, the refuge taking faith. Think of those wings, children. Well, maybe not these big. How about these little ones of the chicken? Under whose wings thou hast come to trust? Those little chicks? And those little birdies? They just scoot themselves under those wings of mama bird? That's the picture. That's faith. Yeah. Jesus even calls that great faith. Great faith. That woman that came to him, that Canaanitish woman, just like Ruth, stranger, Canaan, heard of Jesus, never saw him before. No answer. Discouraging answer. Really put outside answer. It's not fitting for me to give the bread to the dogs. Truth, Lord. She's still under those wings, you know. That's refuge-taking faith. Jesus calls that great faith. You know what we often think called great faith can tell big stories? That's not what it is. That's often great pride. Hey, listen to my story. Great faith is what we see in Ruth here. She has learned to trust under the shadow of the wings of Jehovah. It's like Peter. To whom else can I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou art the Christ. What did Jesus say? Peter, you didn't learn that in the synagogue school. Your mom and dad didn't teach you that. You learned that from my Father in heaven. No such things ever come out of your mouth and out of your heart unless the Father has been drawing you to me. And what did Peter say? I'm elect? No. I'm predestinated? No. I'm forgiven? No. I know that Jesus died on the cross and exactly all of that? No. What then? Thou art my only hope, my only answer, my only person, Jesus. Thou art my only one. I don't know everything about thee, but I know enough about thee that I don't want to leave thee. I don't want to be anywhere away from thee. And you know, that's where that seal comes from, Peter. Oh, if I have to die with thee, Lord, I die. But I don't want to leave with thee. Why is that? There's faith in Peter. Just like Ruth. Ruth has come to trust under the shadow of the wings. Congregation, why did she do that? Did she do that because she thought she was worthy of that? No, not at all. She's a stranger. She keeps saying that. Look at verse 13. I cannot even be compared to thy handmaidens. Boaz, your serving girls. I am not even one of those. I am not one of those. No, she doesn't think she's worthy. Did she struggle to think she is welcome? I'm sure she did. Did she ask herself, am I allowed to take my refuge under him? I'm sure she did. Why is that? Why is she sure? Because I remember having that struggle too, and I didn't come from Moab. I had a good Christian upbringing. I still struggle to think, may I trust in Jesus? I struggle, and maybe you struggle too, but am I allowed to trust in him? Am I good enough? Ah, it's not about good enough. See, that's where the struggle is. We think we need to be good enough. No, no, that is not at all the reason. Well, what about my past? I pledge allegiance to the gods of Moab. I serve the idols. What about that? Well, take it along. It all fits under those wings. Take that past along. Don't minimize it. Bring it to the feet of Jesus. It all covers by those wings. That's what it is. Under whose wings thou hast come to trust. Are you struggling with the questions and fears? If you're welcome. You know why you do? Because you're like Martha. You're still looking at Lazarus in the grave. You're still looking at your heart full of dead man's bones. But my friends, listen again to Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. And whosoever is dead, though he is dead, separated, guilty, sinful, trust in me, shall live. Oh, it's because we have such dim thoughts of the grace and the mercy and the one-sidedness of the God of grace that we so often timidly, fearfully sit there. No, let us come with boldness. I am the way, the truth and the life, Jesus said to us last week. And though Ruth may not have been able to answer all her own objections and all her own fears, congregation, you know what's so special about Ruth? She clung to this Jehovah, the God of Israel. She wasn't going away from him. She told Naomi, stop talking to me about going back to Moab. I am going with thee, and I will never go back again. Death shall part me if I will do that. No, that's not what she said. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if death, if aught anything else but death part thee and me. That's her promise. So assured she is, she will stay. Maybe you say it too this morning. Oh God, I cannot leave thee. Though unworthy, tell me not to leave. Though unworthy, though not worthy a mansion, though not worthy a room in a mansion, let me at least live on the yard. Lord, that be good enough for me. That was Ruth. I am just not even worthy to sit among your handmaidens, Boaz. I'll sit on the outside of the field. But don't send me away. And you come along with that, Ruth, this morning? Under whose wings thou hast come to trust? Is that clinging, that looking outside of yourself, that taking refuge in Jesus found in us? Is God breaking down all the other shelters we have sought our refuge in? Is God been breaking down the shelter of my good works and my good name and my good experiences and my good prayers, whatever else, or your poverty? Because we make our poverty into something too. I'm so poor. As if that is a reason for God to have mercy on you. He's moved, despite anything of us, to show mercy. Are we learning to quietly hope for the salvation of the Lord, congregation? Now let's look lastly then at what is the object of her faith. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. I love that picture of God. Wings. Maybe the eagle's wings, but then it doesn't so fit the under. That was upon eagle's wings. So maybe here I still think about Jesus' picture. As a hen gathers her chickens, so would I have gathered you. These wings of this chicken. Children, picture that for a moment. As you see those little chicks outside, and there's the eagle or the hawk coming down, and mommy makes all the little chucking noises, and those little chicks, they just scoot back under those wings. And whose wings thou hast come to trust? Is that your picture? The dangers are there. Satan, sin, judgment. And then stands Jesus before us. As a hen would have gathered your chickens. People, I would have gathered you. And that is exactly what also Ruth has found in Christ. These wings are similar to the arms of grace and love that the father of the prodigal son set out to his son when he came there running toward him. Now that's the same picture. Spiritually, these wings are the work and the person of Jesus Christ. Think of Christ's obedience, friends, as those wings. Those wings of his life, the wings of his person, those wings of his obedience under which we are to trust. If we are to meet God, we are to be perfect. If you and I want to be accepted with this eternal Father, be ye perfect, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. How is that going to be? Who of us can be perfect? We can't even be perfect for a minute while we sit here. And how am I to bring it up? Under whose wings I've come to trust? Those wings of Christ. It's His perfection. It's His work. It's His blood. It's His obedience. It's His sacrifice. His righteousness. His honoring of the law. And He is thereby common shelter for a poor and a guilty sinner. I doubted that Ruth all understood that. Ruth had no understanding of those things. She only knew that Jehovah was a safe place. What it all meant and what all those biblical doctrines were that are related to the very work of salvation would all have been a little unclear to Ruth yet, undoubtedly. And yet, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And she... When I read that secondly in this form, there may be some of you who say, oh yeah, well that's not me. I would examine myself, whether I with all my heart firmly believe this faithful promise of God that all my sins are forgiven Him. Only for the sake of the passion and the death of Jesus Christ. And I have to believe that the perfect righteousness of Christ and all what His is perfectly imputed and freely given to me, as if it is my own now, as if I have satisfied my own person. I can't believe that. I'm not there. So then the Lord's table is not for me. Let's listen. Under whose wings thou hast come to trust. And at mealtime Boaz said, come hither and eat of the bread. So it is still today. Sure, what our Lord's Supper form says, friends, is the end station of saving faith. That's the maturest form of faith. That's when you, I would say, the adults in faith. But what about the little infant then? That only cries and sighs, hungers and thirsts, who feels the need to take its refuge into the arms of God like a little baby does, doesn't it? Mommy, Daddy. And they cry and they feel safe and in the arms. What about her and him who have only that level of faith? Are they allowed? And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat bread. Yes, congregation. Even those who don't come farther in this assembly this morning than that, taking refuge to Jesus, are welcome at this table. That is what Boaz says. So let's examine ourselves this morning. Is Jesus Jehovah the only ground of hope? Is Jesus Jehovah the only hope that I feel or see or dare to hope for a man or woman like me. Do we echo a little bit of what the Apostle Paul said? And no, you don't have to go through Damascus experience to say that. I've never had anything close to it. But this is the language of my heart. Oh, that I may be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is filthy, but to be found in the dear righteousness of Jesus Christ. Can you come along with that? Is that the desire? Is that the hunger? If not, then don't come. Because then you have nothing to remember at this table. It is in remembrance of Him. Then I'm not saying what is going on in your life is not right. That I have no way to say that. But maybe it's too early then. When I meet people, I ask who come to the table, tell me something about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say, well, I know nothing about Him. Then I don't think you belong at the table. It is do this in remembrance of me. He doesn't ask, do you believe everything I've done and everything I'm doing now? Am I the focus, the desire, the object of your hunger, of your refuge, of your desire? And friends, if we cannot deny that, and if we indeed are like Ruth, I have learned to take my refuge under the wings, then hesitate not to come next Sunday. Let us now close together with reading the second half of the form, page 136. I will just read the second part of the examination, which deals also with examination of whether there's any sins that would hinder the communion with God. And now, do not forget, congregation, that this portion is spoken to those who have been identified in the first part of what I read. So do not think, well, this is only speaking about the unconverted. No, no. In this second portion, we are also speaking to the ones who know of this life of Ruth and of the faith of Paul and so on. And there can be sins in our life again. And that's what we need to examine. So therefore, as I continue, all those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of His table of His Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. And therefore we also, according to the Apostle Paul, notice the word also, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those, and whoever that is among us, who are defiled with the following sins, to keep themselves from the table of the Lord and to declare to them they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoked deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, and charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of His word and of His holy sacrament, all blasphemers, all those who are given to race, discord, sects, and mutiny, divisions in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents or their superiors at work or in church, all murderers, all contentious persons and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. And it should really be dot, dot, dot there. There's a lot more in this list. The finer sins. Let's examine that this week. All these while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat which God has only ordained for the faithful. The faithful of what? In their relationship, in their walk of life, in their holiness. Lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject or discourage the contrite hearts of the faithful. They're already contrite because of all what they see in themselves. As if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. And therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely that we don't have perfect faith. No, perfect faith, what is that? Mature, assured, steadfast, you name it, perfect. And that we don't give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we're bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lust of our flesh. Yet since we are by the grace of the Holy Spirit, that's the only reason why we're sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief, and earnestly desirous to live according to all God's commandments, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remains against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Amen. Let us pray together. Faithful, gracious Lord, we praise Thee for having drawn Ruth out of Moab and have her thrust under the wings of Thee, O Jehovah. What a trophy of Thy wonderful grace. And so there are millions and millions Thou hast dealt with like a Ruth of old. But Lord, Thou also hast millions Thou hast drawn out of the very churches they grew up in. And hast also led them to trust under the shadows of Thy wings. And now it is for us the question this morning to examine whether we one of those. Lord, let us indeed this week have time and light by the word to seek also that this is our picture, taking refuge in Jesus, under His wings, like a fearful chick under the wings of the hen. Or as a filthy prodigal in the arms of his father. Gracious Lord, if we're not there, bring us there. Keep us there also, that so we may live the life of faith in the comfort and the joy of salvation. Search us, Lord, that we may indeed deal with all sin that hinder the profit of fellowship. We lift up also our dear sister, Mrs. Dirksen, of our congregation, Lord, as she lies still on her weakness of her bed, which has been a long journey. Thou hast also heard her say that she trusts under the shadow of Thy wings, and we may thank Thee, Lord, for the continuation of the peace in her heart. Make it well. Thank Thee for bringing Esther and Deborah back from their study journey in our midst again. Thank Thee, Lord, for the visitors from Iowa. Ruth and her son, also in our midst, Scott, bless their time with their families and their friends and on their journeys. Hear us, O gracious Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 416, verse 3 and 5. O my soul, why art thou grieving? Why art disquiet in me? Hope in God. Verse 3 and 5 of Psalter 416. Receive now the blessing of the Most High, and let us go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.